I'm Detective Steve McCulloch with the Ventura County Sheriff's Office. Sorry to bother you. I think this is probably your day off.
No, it's okay, sir. How are you?
I'm good. Is this an okay time to speak with you? I just need
this
a quick interview with you. Regarding
This is fine.
Okay, perfect. And how do you pronounce your last name? Is it? Okay. Again, I'm Steve McCulloch. I work with the Ventura County Sheriff's Major Crimes Bureau, and we're handling the officer-involved shooting from Santa Paula on the last Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
And my understanding is you were working that day, correct? And you responded?
Correct. AMR Medic 421.
Okay. And if you could just tell me a little bit about what time your shift started that day, where you were working when you got the call.
Definitely. So I was assigned to the unit, and our shifts are 7 a.m. to 7 a.m. the following day.
Okay.
So we were just about to finish up our shift for a crew exchange.
Okay.
When our members weren't there, so we got the tones for the call at the station. So yeah, normal stuff, you know, getting rig ready for the next crew.
Right.
And then we ended up hearing the call go off for a GSW, and we ended up just booking it to the scene. And our supervisor was in front of us, and he actually made it on scene prior to us.
And who's that?
And we were right behind him. That
okay.
Yes. He arrived on scene, and then we arrived about 12 seconds after.
Okay.
After him. Got the call, and our station is location from there. We frequent that area quite a bit, so it takes us maybe 3 to 4 minutes to get on scene from our station.
Okay. And where is your station? I'm not familiar with it.
It's 623 Main Street in the city of Santa Paula. So it's if you're at Palm and what was that? Marin, technically Ventura. So if you go north on Palm and then right on and east on Main Street, it's maybe a half mile, less than half a mile.
Okay.
Down the street from there.
Okay.
So short ETA to get from the station to the scene. And then we got on scene, and then our paramedic supervisor was ahead of us.
Okay.
And then we arrived on scene too. We didn't know parameters. We didn't know circumstances yet. We just showed up,
okay.
And we saw the body in the middle of the road, the victim.
Who was driving?
My partner.
Okay. Was the driver. All right.
Yeah, and I was assigned to the attendant position.
Okay.
And we usually switch back and forth, but I have an intern with me now, somebody who's going through the schooling process.
Okay.
That is, yeah.
Okay. And so he was with you guys as well?
Correct. He's my intern. So he works underneath me, and I'm he's supposed to show me competency and proficiency in becoming a paramedic.
Got it. So
and in sensitive cases like that, I was the one that overtook the call just because of the sensitivity of the call.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you recall where the ambulance was parked then?
I do. Initially, there was about three police vehicles in front of where the scene was,
okay.
And then there was the fire engine, and then there was us.
Okay.
So there was four vehicles in between the patient, the supervisor vehicle, and then the fire engine as well. So there was a good four vehicles in between the deceased and our
okay.
our vehicle.
And then would you have been parked on Palm, or which street were you parked on?
Technically, that's an interesting part of Santa Paula. It's technically Ventura Street.
Okay.
It's between Marin and Palm on Ventura Street.
Okay.
It's actually right at the intersection of where Marin, it's a small little tiny street,
okay.
Turns on to Ventura Street.
Okay. So you were parked right there by Marin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you would have probably, I guess, been facing westbound?
Facing westbound on Ventura Street towards Marin.
Okay. And then once you got on scene, what happened next?
It usually takes us it's standard operating procedure. We go to the back, we hit on scene through our mobile data terminal, and then we go to the back, grab our gurney, grab our tools. So it's a cardiac monitor and a bag that we have. Then we come around, and there was a lot of vehicles, so it took us a second to get there. But we got our gear, and then within a minute or two, we got to the scene, and we saw the supervisor, okay. paramedic supervisor. We saw him next to the body, and then we went into operational mode of discussing, you know, circumstances, because we have policies that dictate whether or not we transport penetrating trauma,
okay.
even in the cardiac arrest setting or in the non-car. It's basically medical jargon for do we initiate resuscitation, and that usually happens within the first 20-25 seconds of getting on scene and determining whether or not the patient was. So,
okay.
Yeah, exactly. And he met our criteria, which is 606, the Ventura County EMS policy, stating okay. that if he's shot, then we estimate our destination from packaging time has to be less than 20 minutes to a trauma center, which we know is VCMC. And then we went into operational mode. So we put him on the cardiac monitor. We were assessing his heart rate, if he even had one, which he didn't have one. He had a pulseless rhythm, meaning his heart wasn't even making a beat.
Okay.
And then we went into dictation mode. We all, what we do on scene when we have a lot of paramedics on scene is we all look to each other and we kind of see, is everything checking out? So myself and even the intern, we all looked at each other. Does anybody have any issues with calling this, because we're well out of the circumstances of
okay.
of it being viable. And then he met our criteria, and then I ended up confirming it on the cardiac monitor and calling it at 0648,
you called it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you pronounced death.
Pronounced death, yeah.
Okay. And do you recall seeing any weapons around the body or hearing
it? I do actually. It was a peculiar scene because it was the back of a police. I think I'm not sure if it's always the officer that if it's always the sergeant or not, but it was a Tahoe.
Okay.
It was one of the SUV Santa Paula vehicles.
Okay.
And it was open. The back was open, and there was a bag. It looked like a medical bag that was open mm-hmm. on the back. And then I looked on the ground, and I saw bloody handcuffs. I saw a large knife. I saw a cuff, you know, the little key cuffs that you guys have, the pens
yes.
that you guys put in your shirt pockets. I saw one of those.
Okay.
I saw bloody handcuffs, and then I saw off in the distance, I saw a shoe, I think it was, or some other article of clothing.
Okay.
And then I saw a large blood splatter trail that was headed all the way back down towards Palm.
Okay.
So
in the
that's kind of what I saw. In the street, yeah, in the
okay.
street.
All right.
Adjacent to the cars that were parked on the north side of the street. So
would it have been on the driver or passenger side of those vehicles?
It would have been on the driver's side because it was the north side of south side of the street.
Okay.
So it would have been on the driver's side
okay.
of the vehicles.
And you described that as the blood trail going towards Palm.
Yeah, actually, when we were headed back from finishing with the call, as I'm pushing my gurney there, I saw the blood trail. So we moved to the right of it, meaning more towards the middle of the street
okay.
to steer clear of it.
Okay.
But we did see a trail of blood there. And yeah, I don't know if you need any more circs or anything as far as my observations, but I definitely did see him laying what we call supine in the street, meaning on his back.
Okay.
On his back in the middle of the street with the PD vehicle kind of in front of it. So I still to this day have so many questions, and I know it's an ongoing investigation. PD usually can't give us any issues with it, but as far as my paperwork reflected and what I observed from walking up, it was a body behind a police vehicle that I had showed up to and essentially pronounced.
Okay. And now the body you're saying was supine in the street. What direction was the head and what direction was the feet?
The head was facing south and the feet were facing north.
Okay. And what distance would you estimate behind the vehicle?
Behind the vehicle, I'd say probably 8 feet.
Okay.
6 to 8 feet.
Okay. And did you hear any statements that were made by any of the officers or anyone else nearby? Did you see any other civilian witnesses or anybody?
It was eerie because we had seen PD there, but there was another PD officer that was going around with a camera. So I don't even know who discharged. I don't know who was involved and who was how you say the shooter, I guess you'd say. I don't know, or the officer who discharges a weapon. I don't even know who to this day it was. So I still had a lot of questions on scene, and they kept telling me, "Well, it's an investigation." That's when I saw the Ventura County Sheriff's Department there, and I started seeing people come out, and I was like, "Okay, this makes sense. Nobody's talking to me. Nobody's giving me any circumstances."
Okay. So you never did. Anybody say this is what happened or anything?
No, I had to piece it together myself, and what we do in EMS to write our paperwork at the end, to write what it is we arrive to.
Right.
We write things in a way to just stay to state facts as opposed to making assumptions, because you can't assume anything.
Sure.
But having minimal information when we walk up, I painted the picture in the same way in my narrative in the patient care report. To state the same way. Unknown circumstances, arrived on scene to find a male roughly 20 to 30s at the laying supine behind a police vehicle in the city of Santa Paula.
Okay.
So we didn't really get anything. And then even hearing from them after the fact was kind of, I mean, it was all hearsay, but not from directly PD, but from us in EMS. We're like, how did this happen? The bloody trail, the knife in his hand. We obviously make our own assumptions, if you will, but nothing from PD, if that's what you're asking.
Okay, yeah, I'm just wondering if you had heard while you were on scene from anybody, fire or police department or anyone, any statements that had been made. And based on your explanation of no heart rhythm or anything, suspect didn't say anything, correct?
Or the subject yeah, he was shot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had a total of three. He had one, when you deal with the chest, we break it into segments, but he had one in the upper left, shoulder, if you will, area, right under your clavicle, above your clavicle, and one to his chest, and then one to his bottom, lower right abdomen. So he had a total of three, and then he had profuse bleeding around his neck, but I couldn't ascertain whether or not he had a cut or some type of self-inflicted injury or what, but...
Okay.
He had copious amounts of blood coming from the sides of his head and underneath his right jaw. So,
okay. And then regarding the person who had been shot, was there any manipulation of the body that you or your crew had done while you were there?
We did. Yeah, we ended up manipulating his head left and right. We articulated it to look.
Okay.
And then we cut off his shirt as well, because we have to listen for apical heart tones. We have to listen to put them on the monitor itself. And then we have to visualize to count all the entry and exit wounds.
Okay.
So we did roll a little bit side to side, but as far as movement of the body from where it was in the same half. I wouldn't even call it a half foot. I'd call it a quarter foot radius around where the body was. So maybe manipulating it and rolling it left and rolling it right to get the shirt and cutting things around.
Okay.
But that was it.
That sounds good. Let's see. So once you pronounced, it sounded like you guys stuck around. You took your gurney back to the ambulance and left at that point.
We actually were told to just move out of the way.
Okay.
So we took our gurney. What we have to do is transfer all the information from the cardiac monitor onto our computer.
Okay.
It records the heart tones.
Okay.
So we put everything back onto the computer in the back of the ambulance, the back of the supervisor's. So right as we all kind of piled into the vehicles, we made our way after pronouncing him back to the behind the vehicles, and then that's where we did our paperwork, getting the unit back into service, into ready position. So we changed out the batteries, we put up the business as usual back there, but we hung around for I want to say another 7 to 10 minutes, doing all that.
And during that, the 7 to 10 minutes there. During that time, did you hear anything different or anyone say anything more?
No, I heard a VCSO. I heard when they were walking up to the scene, they were actually walking, so we were directing them to, hey, watch out for the blood splatter over there. It's actually the same scene.
Okay.
That's when they started coming out with the tape and taping off the area, and they actually blocked us in, and we had to get let out.
Okay.
But that was just PD. That was just FD and us kind of standing there going, okay, how do you feel about this? And we did our own little powwow for CISM.
Okay.
Are you okay? Is everybody okay? And then we all kind of started stipulating what we thought happened. So
okay.
Nothing PD involvement-wise.
Now, you discussed a report that you had done and the heart rhythm being downloaded, I guess. Do you know how we would access those things? Do you know who would we would contact for those?
For that, you'd have to go through AMR. You'd have to go through, and because it's a patient care record, I know it's privy to HIPAA and all that, but if you need something directly from the EMS standpoint, you can just start up the chain. The chain usually starts with the paramedic supervisor.
Okay. And then
from there, if he doesn't have anything for you, you can go straight up to management, which would be he's the ops manager. Okay. He's basically boss.
Okay. Good deal. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to me. Is there anything else that I might be missing or that you think might be interesting for us to know that we might need to follow up?
I just have so many questions about it. I don't understand the circs of it all happening, and I'm waiting the investigation to kind of get done with. But nothing operational. Nothing operationally. I have, just to maybe add to the fact, personally, I've been in Santa Paula working there for, this will be coming up on my second year working there, and I've never ran into him. I've never seen him before. I still don't have a name for my care report, an actual name, because I was told to not, you know, weed through pockets or do anything.
Right.
So I don't even know the name, but I had never taken him before, and I know that's a big point of contention for us. Is, hey, do you know this guy? Does anybody know this guy? Have you taken him before or been on him before?
Okay.
And I had never seen him, so, you know, usually people with prolonged psych histories and stuff, we have a really good handle on either our homeless population or frequent flyers, as we call them, that are frequent heavy users.
Okay.
But I'd never seen him before, so that's what kind of also adds to it.
Okay. Real quick, too, you mentioned you saw a handcuff key, handcuffs. I think you mentioned a knife. Could you describe the knife that you saw?
Yeah, it was larger. It almost looked not like a chef's knife. Oh, small, almost like a smaller chef's knife.
Okay, so more more like a kitchen knife than a tactical type of knife?
Yeah.
Would that be fair to say?
That'd be fair to say. Yeah. I couldn't give you the exact circ on it or like what.
Okay.
I remember just referencing it really quickly when I looked around to just make sense of the scene and then go, oh, okay.
And how there's far a knife away there. Was that from you?
Ooh, from me, because of where I was standing, probably say maybe about 50. No, less than 10 feet.
Less than 10 feet from.
Yeah, less than 10 feet from where I was. Yeah, when I was at the body.
Okay. And what direction would that be from the body?
When I was standing in the body, behind it, so more towards the Marin side, so north of the body.
Okay.
In like a northeastern direction.
Okay. Very good. I think that's going to be it for right now. I appreciate, like I say, taking the time out of your day off. If I think of anything else, is this the best number to reach you at?
This is, yeah. It's my cell phone. I always have it on me.
And then I was given your name along with a number. It's got.
Yeah, that's my paramedic number.
That's
from the state.
That's paramedic number. Okay. I just wanted to verify what that number was. And I think that's going to be. Do you have any other things you might
No, if I can help, let me know. I'm back on duty on Saturday. I don't know if you guys will be working then, but I'm back on duty. So if you need any other questions, you can reference me there too.
Okay, excellent. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, Detective. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.